Now, last week we agreed that, or the week before last, that the world's measure of success is different to God's measure of success. Spiritual success is independent of money, fame, or prestige. So why is it that some people come to Christ and grow like crazy, and other people come to Christ and they stay the same for years or even decades and barely seem to grow at all? Have you often wondered that? Why is it that some take off like a rocket and change the world and some just sit there and do very little? Why do some seem to do lots of incredible things for the Lord while others spend years just sitting down going and complaining about things? Why does Christianity work for some people and not others? Well, I think it comes down to choosing things. You need to choose what's going on. And we looked at that verse the other week. I'm going to read it again in a tick. But a lot of people say to me, look, I tried Christianity and it didn't work. How many have heard that? I tried Christianity and it didn't work. Here's a newsflash. Christianity is not a product. Christianity is a person. And every single person who truly invests in Jesus as opposed to some religion, he will never let down. But many people don't do it. They treat it like we're consumers. They go in there and they say, oh, well, I tried Christianity. It didn't work. I'll try something else. That's not how it works. The thing is, many people concentrate more on what we can get from church than what we can give to church. Is that true? To achieve spiritual success, the first requirement is that you have to choose to invest. I've been talking with my son-in-law, Raymond, about Bitcoin, which is his favorite topic at the moment. And he says, oh, you know, Bitcoin's great, this, that, and the other. And I have to choose to invest. And I like my money too much. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, you've got to choose. You've got to make a decision whether you're going to invest in something or not. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, if you've got your Bibles there, I love this verse. Back in Deuteronomy 30, you know, things are laid out for the people of Israel when they're heading into the promised land. And the Lord says to them through the prophet, he says, I call heaven and earth witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And in case you can't get it, he says this, now choose life. So you see, you've got to make a choice. And many of the things that we choose in life lead to death and some lead to life. We've got to make the right choices. So you may be visiting church today or you may be a regular attender. But if you know anything about me as a pastor at all, you'll see that my heart's desire is that each of us grows strong in the things of God. That really is. That's what I want to see. I want a church of leaders, don't you? I want a church of leaders that want to change the world. I don't want to sit here in 10 years' time, as wonderful and beautiful as you are, still looking at the same face, in the same spot, saying the same things, doing the same things. I want to change the world. Anyone with me? So that's what we're about here. But you have to start somewhere. So some of you may be content to just float along and never achieve spiritual success, but I believe most of you want to achieve something great for God. Am I right? Wouldn't it be incredible? You know, you'll see this funeral of Billy Graham coming up. What a legacy that man leaves. My goodness, there will be millions and millions and millions of people lined up in heaven waiting to thank him when he gets there. What a legacy this man leaves. And we should be aiming, I don't for a moment think I could be a patch on Billy Graham, but we should be aiming at impacting our area of the world and making a difference where we are. Wouldn't you love to know that you've brought people to Jesus, that you've spoken into people's lives, that you've seen people's lives changed, that you've prayed and seen God move mountains? Wouldn't you love that as a legacy? Who would love that? I would love that. I would love to think that I would love to live the sort of life that when I pass away, even the undertaker's upset. And that would probably take some doing. The cost of funerals these days is really high. They tell me it's due to the cost of living, but that doesn't even make sense. Age doesn't hold you back. Education, lack of education is not stopping you. Where you live isn't stopping you. How you speak isn't stopping you. Nothing is holding you back from being a spiritual success. All that is required for your breakthrough is to become a spiritual giant is you're making the choice to pursue God or not. That's what it comes down to. It's that simple. Are you going to go for it or are you going to hold back and be content with where you are? I'm going to encourage you this morning to embrace discipline. You know, we live in an instant society, don't we? We heard about the microwave before. Man, we live in an instant society. We want everything straight away. We want it all right now. No delays, no waiting, no this, that, no effort. You know what I'm talking about. If you get on the internet and type in something like make money, you will find out, I saw an ad the other day, you can earn $10,461 in 7 days or less. It's a very exact figure, but you know, doing basically nothing. How many of you know those things usually don't come true? You know? Or you can stand on this little vibratey thing while you watch TV and lose 10 kilos. I don't know if that works or not. I'm up for trying it. But you know, we just want something easy. I don't want someone to come to me and say, if you go to the gym, you can lose 10 kilos. I don't want to go to the gym. I want an easy way around it. And so we go for these little things along the way. I heard that they just recently invented a microwave TV so you can watch 60 minutes in 2 minutes. Look, in 21st century Australia, we want it fast and we want it without effort. And if there's a pill or a magic bullet or something we can get there, we're in, aren't we? Come on, that's our society. Remember once upon a time, I spoke about this earlier, we used to write letters. Who remembers letters? Yes, you used to write it on a piece of paper. This was before iPads. I know some of you can't remember that far back, but you used to write it on a piece of paper. You put a stamp on it. You go to the post office. You'd mail it. And some days later, your friend would get it, open up the envelope, and read the letter. And today we call that snail mail because it's too slow for us. So somebody invented the fax. Who remembers faxes? Oh, yeah, this is great. We just put the letter in here and it spits out of your phone into your fax machine way over there and it only takes a couple of minutes. Brilliant. But then someone said, hey, that's way too slow. They invented email. And so you have email. You know, you can send that off and a few seconds later someone gets it in their inbox. But then someone came along and said, well, hey, that seems positively prehistoric email. Who uses that stuff? We use instant messaging because I can put it in, you can reply straight away. You see how it's going? We want it faster and faster and faster. No success in life, here's a newsflash, no success in life is achieved without discipline. I know discipline's a dirty word for some people, but no success will be achieved without discipline in sport, business, ministry, and even the family. If we are to be truly successful, it takes effort and discipline, and so it is with our spiritual life. We always want the fast, easy, no-nonsense way to achieve success. But to achieve spiritual success as a follower of Jesus, there are some things that need to be a part of your life. Regular, yes, even daily. These are non-negotiable. They are not optional. They're not for some and not for others. If you want to grow with Christ, there are certain non-negotiables that you need to put into your life. They're for everyone. They are the disciplines of the Christian's life. And yes, discipline takes effort. How many of you know that? Discipline takes effort. I often say, I wanted to lose some weight. I bought these weight loss videos, you know, the DVDs. They don't work. I've watched them 10 times, lost no weight. You know, they don't work. Because it's not about watching, it's about committing yourself to something and actually doing something about it and being disciplined. So what? I want you to open to Mark chapter 4. And I say those words again, so what? What are you sowing into your life? Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 5. You'll know this passage. I want to go through it piece by piece here for a few moments. Jesus talking about the parable of the sower, as we call it, which should be called the parable of the soils, because the sower doesn't change, the soils do. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path and the birds came down and devoured it. The other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil and immediately it sprung up. But since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns and the thorns grew up and choked it and it yielded no grain. Interestingly, it didn't die like the other ones. Didn't say it died, just said it yielded no grain. You notice that? Other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, Jesus goes on later in the chapter to explain what each of these soils sort of indicates. And he says this, paraphrasing, "The first seed is people who hear about Jesus and the devil snatches it away and they never even make a commitment to Christ. And there'll be people in your life that you know who've heard the gospel, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100 times, no change. They don't accept it. And they're that first soil. The second soil is those who accept Christ, but it's a shallow, possibly emotional response. As soon as things get tough, as soon as things get a little bit heated, they turn away and they often say things like, oh, I tried Christianity and it didn't work, right? Because they had no root. They had an emotional experience, but they had no root and they die off. The third is where so many believers are today. The word, you know, they're planted, they receive the word begins to grow in them, but it gets choked out by life, by pressures, by the drive to succeed in a worldly way. Many of us are there. How does this happen? It starts when Christians ignore the basics of the faith, the disciplines I'm talking about. They let the disciplines go. They stop praying. They stop reading the word. They stop attending church many times, or they just attend and they never commit to anything. They just sit there and I'm going to church because that's what I do. And the cares of this life just strangle them and just squeeze the life out of them. How many of you have ever seen a python killing its prey? Have you seen that, like either for real or a film of it? I thought they squeezed them till they died, but they don't. You know what they do? The python wraps around its prey and it locks. And it just sits there. And you're saying, okay, what's going on here? It just holds. And every time you breathe out, it tightens a little bit. Then you breathe out a bit more, tightens a little bit in. So you can't ever take breath in because every time you breathe, it's not squeezing you, it's just holding. And that's what a lot of the things of this world do. They don't actually out and out squeeze the life. They just wrap around you and grab you tight. And every time you breathe out, they squeeze a little bit more and a little bit more until in the end, you have no breath left. The fourth seed is shown to be good ground and it's fruitful, yielding far in excess of what was shown, 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, does it magically produce this? No. The Lord bestows the growth. But what is the main difference between the third and the fourth seed? It is effort, it's discipline, it's things like pulling weeds. You know, there's no weeds around it to choke it. Is that magical? No. It's because the gardener takes care of it and makes sure that there's nothing to choke it. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. How many of you know that? You've seen my house. Thank you so much. I don't invest much time in my garden. I've grown some plants and some trees. But if I, here's the funny thing. I can't grow very much. But if I neglect my garden, I grow weeds like crazy. I mean, I don't even have to try. If I do nothing, is this how it works, Betty? If you do nothing, weeds just come up? What's the deal with that? Why can't flowers come up? Why can't fruit trees? I'm just going to neglect this piece of ground and fruit trees come up. That would be good. But it doesn't happen. It's always weeds, isn't it? And that's the thing. If you don't get serious about your walk with the Lord, you will grow fruit, but it'll have the life squeezed out of it. It will be mostly weeds. So do you want a fruitful or weedy life? I said weedy wife there. That's... she used to be, she said. The bottom line is you need to read the directions. If you want to be a big fat zero for Christ, if you're happy and content with the life you have, if you can't really be bothered stepping out in faith, just stay where you are. You will hit your mark for sure. You're welcome to fellowship here. Come and sit and get what you want, you know, through the next week, through the next years, whatever. Same old, same old. But I believe most of you have higher aspirations than that you want to grow and achieve spiritual success. Am I right? Yeah, and it takes a little bit of effort, but you want God to use you in an amazing way to impact and change the world. So if that's you, it all starts with personal discipline and with God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, fantastic verse. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is breathed out. It's actually breathed out by God. It's got God's spirit infusing through it, all scripture. Does that mean genealogies? Yes. Does that mean skin diseases in Leviticus? Yes. All scripture is breathed by God. The Bible is God's direction in life. Now, I don't. My wife's going to agree with this for sure, but I'm a man. You do agree with that, right? Thank you. And as a man, I have difficulty with directions. That's why, you know, Moses was a man, children of Israel, in the desert for 40 years, because he couldn't ask. No, that's not true. But I have difficulty with directions. And I don't. Any of you guys out there like that? A few. And when I get something, I try and assemble it first. And if I run into trouble, then I read the directions. Are there any men here like that? Yes, there's a few. So the problem is, some of the directions are not very good. We were laughing during the last couple of days. Fiona's had a little birthday thing with our kids and stuff, and we were laughing at my inability to put together flat packs. Now, I believe that the devil is in flat packs. Like, there's like a satanic conspiracy to create flat packs. I really believe that. And I spent hours putting this like barbecue together and found it was all reversed. And the knobs were actually on the inside and you couldn't reach them. I had to pull it all apart and redo it. So the thing is, a lot of the directions are really badly put together. Like, have you noticed that? There's an ad on TV for, I think it's KitKat, and they're trying to put an old like trebuchet together, all these medieval guys, and they've got these directions and they don't make any sense. I reckon there's a little bloke in China sitting around saying, "Ha ha, they'll never figure this one out." You know, I reckon that's the way it goes. So what I did was I went on a quest to find out some really interesting instructions. So get a load of some of these. These are true. These are actual instructions. On the packaging for an iron, do not iron clothes while on body. How many of you have tried that? Redefines hot pants, really, doesn't it? On children's cough medicine, children's cough medicine said this: do not drive a car or operate machinery after taking this medication. On a child's Superman costume, wearing this garment does not enable you to fly. They've got to put these warnings on. It's a legal thing these days. On a bottle of laundry detergent, remove clothing before distributing in washing machine. On a muffin packet, just in case you didn't know, on a packet of muffins it says this: remove wrapper, open mouth, insert muffin, eat. We really needed that one. On a can of air freshener, for use only by trained personnel. Now, have you got your air freshener certificate on you? What's the chances? On a toilet cleaning brush, do not use orally. Oh, that's true, absolutely true. On a can of spray paint, do not spray in your face. Or like this one for you ladies, on a blowtorch, not to be used for drying hair. Have you tried that? Have you tried that? On a box of fireworks, do not put in mouth. This one I could not work out, but this is actually true. This is an actual true. Well, they're all true, but this one. On a Swedish chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands or genitals. In a microwave oven manual, not to be used for drying pets. These are all true. And this one I really like because it doesn't make any sense at all. On a Japanese food processor, not to be used for the other use. Pay attention to that. Don't use it for the other use. So in order to get somewhere in life, you need to have directions given by God and you need to obey them for maximum results. So how can you do this? Let me run through this quickly as we wrap it up. Number one, God's word is to be studied. The instruction manual is to be studied. Reading the Bible is fine, but God's word is not some novel. It's God's instruction manual for life. And if we are wise, we will not just read, but we'll study it. You can do this anywhere, anytime. You could join a Connect group and study the Word of God. You can study with others anywhere. You can study by yourself. Ezra 7 verse 10 says this, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." So he was the leader of Israel. He said, "I'm going to study the law. I'm going to study God's word." And if you are serious about growing with Christ, you need to study God's word. The thing is, the Bible's not just a book. It's life in the spirit. There is a spirit. His Holy Spirit is infused through the pages of the Bible. The book is not passive, it's active. There are thousands of testimonies of people who've opened a Bible randomly and God spoke to them through that and they've given them heart to the Lord. There are thousands of people like myself that can tell you, I often open the word of God every day and there is something in that that will apply directly to the day that I'm facing. How many of that happens to you? How many of you like that? Yeah. And the same scripture can speak to you if you listen, because Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, "The word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart." How many times have you opened the word of God and it's spoken to you and you've thought, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that," or, "Oh, I need to do that"? You know, it speaks directly to our hearts. That's the power of the Word of God. So the second thing is that the Word of God should be consumed daily. We all want the fast, easy track to spiritual greatness and success. So here's the fast track. Read the Bible every day. Say, wait a minute, that's not so easy. I'm really busy. You know, I've got lots of things to do. Listen, it's a lot easier than spending years and years running on the spot in your Christian life. It's a lot easier to read his word every day. Matthew 4 verse 4 says this. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So let me ask you a question. How often do you eat? Once a week, once a month? Who eats once a month? Who eats once a week? Who eats once a day? Who eats more than once a day? Yes. So we feel the need for physical food more than once a day. Surely we feel the need for spiritual food at least once a day. If you want to be spiritually successful, you need to eat of God's word every day. That's why God sent manna in Exodus 16. If you're studying the Bible plan that we have up the back, we would love you to do that if you're not with us. But if you are, you will have noticed Exodus in the last week or so, and God and Numbers, and God sent this stuff from heaven, manna from heaven, because they had no food. The Israelites whinged, "Here we are in the desert. We've got no food. What's going on, Lord? Why did you bring us out here? We were better off being slaves," all that sort of stuff. So he gave them manna from heaven. Now, what was manna? It was a little wafery, sort of biscuity type thing. And it appeared every morning. And it had to be consumed that day. Except on the day before the Sabbath, when it would last 2 days. Why would God give them food to consume every day? Why didn't he just say, "Hey, here's a container full of really nice food. Take it and live on it for the next couple of months. Then I'll give you another one." He didn't do that. Why did he do it this way? Because he wanted to show them that that every day they need to be relying on him. Every day they need to be going out there day by day. They need to be pressing into the Lord and feeding on him. It wasn't enough to save up the old experience. He wanted them to experience his love every single day. That's why Lamentations 3 says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I was talking to someone in our church last week who told me that God is just speaking to them every single day out of the word, and they're so excited about it, and so am I. Man, when you open the Word of God and something just leaps out at you, it doesn't happen every day, but it happens a lot when you're in the Word of God every day. So I want to encourage you, if you're not reading the Word of God every day, you are missing out. It is awesome. The third thing is that God's word needs to be meditated on. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." There's that word. You want to be prosperous and successful? Meditate on the word of God. So what does that mean? It means simply thinking about it. turning it over in your mind, discussing it with people. So you don't just read it and put it down, but you think back on it every day, time and time again. I was so excited on our Philippine trip, which we'll share a bit with you, I'm hoping, next week. It's taken a while for some of us to get back and for us to get our act together. But on our Philippine trip, because there were many of us reading the same passage, we'd all come in and discuss it. And that would last all day sometimes. You know, you keep thinking about it and you're tossing it around your head. And what do you think about this bit? And it was so great. It is fantastic to do. It's a bit like a cow. Excuse me being crass, but a cow, you know, they've got five stomachs, I believe, and they keep belching it up and chewing on it for a while, then they swallow it again into another stomach, and then they belch it up and chew on it for a while, then swallow it. That's meditating. I used to, as a young guy, I used to go and read books with the cows, and we'd have our cows sitting under a tree in the shade. It was nice and cool, and I'd sit and I'd lean back on their stomachs and read a book for a while, but it was pretty noisy. All this belching and chewing and some belching and chewing. So they are constantly doing this, and that's like meditating. Don't just read it once and throw it away and say, I've done that. Put it in and run it around in your head. Think about it for a while. Discuss it with people. Then what happens is when you face the various problems that you face, suddenly the Word of God pops out. Who's experienced that? When you least expect it, because it's running around in your head, you'll be doing something, bam, this verse will just pop into your mind. It's incredible. Psalm 190, verse 9 and 11 says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored your word up in my heart that I might not sin against you. And putting God's word in your heart is meditating on it. As you think about and even memorize the Word of God, you'll be amazed at how often these verses spring to mind, just when you need it. Try it. I challenge you to try it, and you'll see that it's true. The fourth thing is that God's Word needs to be obeyed. We do not just read to tick off a box on our reading plan. We do not read out of interest or curiosity to gain knowledge. We read to live. And to live God's word means obedience. James chapter 1, if you've got your Bible, open to this, because this is an incredible passage. And the thing I love about James is he just throws it right in your face. He's not very subtle. He just comes straight out and says it like it is. Listen to this. Verse 21 of James chapter 1. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So it's actually implanted in us, and we meditate on it and think about it. But be doers of the word, do not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he will look like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, i.e. the Bible, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So if you want spiritual success, obedience is mandatory. So I said week before last, why should God roll out his plan for your life when you won't obey step one? It's really true. Why should he roll out this incredible plan for your life, leading you to a destiny, spiritual success on a scale you've never imagined, when you won't even say yes, Lord, to the first step? You've got to be obedient. And as you're obedient, he will start to roll things out. It's that simple. When you're not reading God's word, how can you expect him to lead you when you don't know what he wants? See, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, if you've used a lamp or a light, it doesn't go hundreds of miles. It just goes a little bit in front. They had these little lamps, you know, oil-burning lamps, and they'd hold them up, and it would just shine a little bit in front. And that's what his word is like. It'll show you the next little bit and the next little bit and the next little bit. But as you move with him, as you move in obedience, the next part of the plan will become apparent to you. He's working on the assumption that you read his word and let it shine or illuminate the next bit of the path. So let me give you, finishing up, three words for spiritual success. They are these words: read your Bible. It's not very profound, but it's very profound. Psalm 19 says this, verse 7, The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That word means transforming the soul. How many of you want your souls transformed? I do. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you are someone who's not really interested in changing or being transformed, then you probably don't have to read the Bible every day. But for the rest of us who want to be successful in our lives, who want to shine for Christ in a nation that desperately needs it, amen, we need to put the Word of God in our heart. We need to chew on it. We need to run it around. We need to get this stuff into us. It's for people who don't have the purpose for their life but wish they had. The Bible is for people who aren't content to be controlled by their passions, who don't want to be victims of circumstance, who want their relationships with those they love to become even better. They're the people who should read the Word of God every day, because as you read it, as you put His Word in your heart, your life starts to transform. You start to become the best person that you can possibly be. The Bible is for people who want direction in life, who want to know how to live, who want to go to heaven. It's for people who want to know God. How many of you want to know God? The more I know of God, the more I want to know of God. Because previously I said, oh God, yeah, He's really great. And now I'm saying, Lord, you are awesome. And I want to learn even more about You. The Bible is for people who don't have all the answers and want something better. It's for those who want to change the world around them. You see, spiritual success revolves around reading God's Word. And honestly, if you're serious about your relationship with God, if you say you're serious about changing and impacting the world for Christ, you have to read the Bible. You have to do it. It's mandatory. That's why I wrote that Bible reading program. You're not just reading the Bible daily. You're actually taking part of His Word, His instruction manual into your life every day. And it is incredibly powerful. The Bible reading plan, if you don't know about it, 2 chapters a day we cover the whole Bible because we hit the highlights. It's not a perfect reading plan, but it's a great place to start. Some of you very sheepishly came to me this year and said, look, I've done your reading plan, it was really awesome, but I want to do a whole Bible reading plan. You go for it. You know, I'm not offended at all. I just want all of us to read the Bible. In my calculations, to read those 2 chapters every day takes around about 7 minutes maximum. And it will transform your life. Who would want to put 7 minutes in to transform your whole life? Anybody up for that? It really works. I've got an app on my phone called the 7-Minute Workout. If you do what it says for 7 minutes, apparently you're going to get fit. Once again, I've read it a few times. It doesn't seem to work. But people complain. People come to me and say, look, I want to read the Bible. I love the Lord. I want to read the Bible, but I have no time. Well, I want to challenge you on that. Turn off the TV. There's an hour or two. Get off Facebook. There's another 3 or 4 probably. We make time for what is important in our lives. And if you show God that His Word is important, you will see results. And if you're really desperate, find a place by yourself that you've got to go to every day for a period of time and sit and read the Word of God. If you're that desperate, if you have no other time in your entire life, I guarantee you, you go to the toilet sometime. He will not be scared off by the smell. Just get alone. And if it takes there, you know, do it. Men have been doing it with newspapers for years. God's not put off by that stuff. You know, He just wants us to take the time to spend with Him. Some people say to me, look, I don't read very well. No problem. If you don't read very well, if you would rather listen and you can't afford to buy a CD of the Bible or something like that, get on your phone. There is an app there called the Gideon's Bible app. If you download that, it is free. You can not only get the Bible in, I think it's 1,200 and something languages. So if you meet someone from some other language, you can show them the Bible in their language. But the ESV, and I think the King James and a few others, has an audio version. So you just have to hit play on your way to work and you can be reading the Bible through your ears. Look, I just want to encourage you to get into this, that we as a church need to get serious about our Bible readings. We really do. I know I harp on about this. My wife says I'm an angel. I'm always harping on about something. Well, this is what I harp on about a lot, because I believe that this can transform your life. I really do. I have a computer that's quite good now, but I used to have, has anybody had an old computer you've had to battle with? Anybody? Okay, I used to have a computer that was so full of all this stuff I put on it, when I tried to add a program, a little message would pop up saying, no more memory available. And before I could load the new program, I had to wipe out one of the old programs. Who's been there? Yeah, it's really frustrating. But wouldn't it be great if when the devil comes with temptation to attack your life, a little sign appeared saying, memory full, heart and mind are filled to capacity with the things of God. Wouldn't that be great? I'm going to get this guy, says the devil. Oh, there's that sign again. Memory full. How do you do this? You fill your memory, you fill your heart with the things of God. Not because I'm a sadist and I want to ruin your life. Not because I'm trying to force you to do something that will be painful. Not because I'm trying to clutter your life and control your time. I'm telling you this because I believe if we put the Word of God in our hearts, it will protect us. It will surround us. It will inspire us. It will lead us on. It will lead us. It will guide us. And it's all available to us if we would only open the door and put it in. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this, and I love this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How do you do that? You fill your mind with things that are praiseworthy and excellent. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. After all, the best defense, they say, is a good offense. Instead of being open and vulnerable to the attacks of the devil through our minds, let's fill our minds with thoughts of God and meditate on his life-changing word. The devil doesn't stand a chance. It's true. It really works. We need to commit ourselves to reading his word, then patiently waiting for the harvest that will surely come. As James 5, 7 says this, be patient. How many of you like being patient? My greatest sin, I hate waiting for things. And so when it says be patient, my heart just goes, oh no. It says this, be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives early and late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Farmers plant things in the ground, and then they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And over time, a seed comes up. It doesn't come instantly. It's not like wave a magic wand, ka-ching, microwave, you know, wheat. That'd be nice, but it doesn't happen. It's slow. It takes time. And anything worth building is slow and it takes time. But Christians, I'm sorry, there is no excuse for us, I believe. Either we get serious about reading God's word or explain to him why we can't be bothered. You know, I love you, Lord. I desire you with all my heart, but don't ask me to put any effort into this relationship. Okay, try this, men. Say to your wife those same words. I love you with all my heart, but I don't want to put any effort into the relationship. See how that works out for you guys? Because I can tell you, it would not work out for me. Relationships require effort. They require time. They require you putting it in. So today's challenge is, will you commit to reading the Word of God? I know, kind of a jovial look at it, but look, I believe that God wants us to put his word in our hearts. If this whole church, if every person in this church started reading the Bible every day without fail, I believe we would be completely transformed as a body of believers. It's the powerhouse. It's what drives us on. It's what makes stuff happen, putting his word in our hearts. And it is the first great key to success. No one is a success for God without reading on his word daily. No one. I read many devotionals every morning in addition to reading the word of God. And one of them that I read is the Billy Graham devotional. I think it's called Unto the Day or something like that. One of his many devotionals. And this morning's reading, Billy was saying again and again, read God's word. Read God's word daily. Read God's word daily. That's the challenge to you. Would you bow your heads and pray?